Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
I liked the last episode when you took a little more inflection in your voice, but I've told you I'm not complaining about the intro anymore.
Right. So
somehow I work it in pretty regularly.
Yeah. Right. Right.
No, it's just like in a different way. People still say. They say, I love it the way you hassle Daniel about the intro. People, this is like, they didn't listen to the podcast. They just listened to the hassle at the beginning.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So we are on episode 569. And this is, man, I think this is the longest running little mini series that we've done to date. And starting
like the Simpsons. We have this huge, long 8,000 episodes.
Yeah. So I can't believe they're, aren't they still going?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's just nuts. Anyway, so from 561, 563, 565, 567, we have been talking about
what's very strange is they don't age. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how would someone not age like that? Oh, wait, although, it's animated.
Although, because of all of it, do you actually remember a Simpson episode like way, way long ago where they predicted Trump would be president?
Yes. Oh, all this stuff. They had like Kamala Harris. Yeah. They had like Marge in the purple outfit that exactly matches Kamala Harris. They
predicted. Really?
Didn't they predict a virus in Wuhan or something like that? I mean, The Simpsons are very scary to me. It's like, what goes on? I think aliens may have been involved in that. So,
yes.
But if you type in Simpsons right now, the first thing that comes up is Simpsons predictions, and then it lists. I'm actually looking at the article. Okay, we put it in the show notes. Is that allowed?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Again, in hindsight, we're not going to put that in the show notes. But anyway, it's nevertheless interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So what I was trying to say was, and this is cultural, right? It's current issues that we're talking about here. But we've basically been on this mini series talking about cultural, theological, and missiological issues. And on today's episode, this is a part two to the missiological issues that we started talking about on 567, which is really the rise in nominalism. And we talked about how that affects preaching and ministry. So why don't we go from here, Ed, and take it more from the perspective of evangelism. And
yeah, I'm texting you like Simpsons memes that that predicted the future. But
oh my goodness. Yes, we are not putting that on the show notes.
But it's a Simpsons. It's like a regular TV show. Yeah. Don't make people think it's horrible. But anyway.
No.
Here's another one I'd put in there is we mentioned the decline of nominalism last time, but I would add too a rise of resistance to proselytization. So I was having a conversation recently with I wrote an article that kind of got picked up a lot of places in USA Today and expressed some thoughts about after the evangelical response after the Capitol riot and stuff like that. And I got a call from my congressman who is in the western suburbs of Chicago, who's he's pretty the district here is actually pretty conservative historically. This is Henry Hyde's old district. And so we, he wanted to talk and do a Facebook Live. I said, sure. So it was but it was interesting in our conversation, even in the Facebook Live, he sort of was expressing concern about these people who are trying to convert other people. And I said, yeah, that's so just so you're clear. I know you like my USA Today article, but that's kind of me. but there's a sense that bad people try to convert others. Good people live their quiet religion. Mm. And that's very much pervasive in our culture and not, of course, what Christians think or believe. And so the idea that for Christians that they would, ironically, someone who was it once told me, this was actually Palau, I think it was Kevin Palau, said to me once that they were working in the Portland school district and there was concern about them proselytizing. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. We can hardly get Christians to do that at all, which is true. But here's what I would say is that pushback on that, because Christianity is, I mean, think about the words of Jesus in Luke 24. He says the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So fundamental to the nature of the gospel is the propagation of the gospel. And this is not true in other religions around the world. So, for example, Judaism today is largely not a proselytizing faith. It was at one point. Remember what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, you'll cross the ocean for a single convert, right? And kind of affirming, and then said, make him twice the son of hell as you are. But today, Islam is a proselytizing religion. But, you know, most of Buddhism isn't, you know, some of Hinduism is. Anyway, the point is that most people today in the broader culture see it as intolerant. You know, there was a study done by Barna, I think it was last year, that talked about how many millennials see evangelism as just wrong, or even millennial Christians as like imposing and more. So what I would say is this I'm using proselytization in purpose because I can talk about it in other religions, but from the Christian perspective, evangelism, and I, you know, you and I have been concerned about it, that it's waning of it. You know, Christians still love evangelism as long as somebody else is doing it. But I think for us, the trick we don't want to buy into is that it is somehow bad or wrong and I think that's a missiological reality, is that people increasingly see, and to quote Chuck Colson, the, you know, well-known, you know, reformer and evangelical leader, you know, he once said that there's what he called a cocktail party pressure. And I don't go to cocktail parties, so I don't know. But there's kind of a cocktail party pressure that there's you shouldn't talk about, you know, religion, which is how people perceive it. You know, was it religion and politics you're not supposed to talk about? But that's, I mean, so a missiological reality is we live in a culture that's against something Jesus told us to do, which is to go therefore make disciples of all nations.
This is the new Churches Q&A podcast, right? So, I mean, why are we planting churches? Why are we planting campuses? I mean, our friends Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna at Geneva Push in Australia, I mean, they have that phrase, right? Evangelizing the church into existence. Right.
But they misspell evangelize like you
with an S, right? Canadian way. Right. So, I mean, even with that perspective, I mean, we've adopted that at our church, giving full credit to them, really, because, I mean, how are we going to plant more campuses and more churches to reach the lost? And what we don't want to do is shuffle the deck. So for that, I mean, everyone listening in I would say, Ed, you know, they're like, yes, we understand totally. So how should we evangelize? How do we equip our church to do this when there's increasing dislike and you know, I wouldn't say persecution, but in a sense that perspective toward it?
Yeah, and I want to be careful. You know, we don't think this is persecution.
No, for sure.
We do think that there is an increasing distaste and lack of appreciation for proselytization. But it is interesting to note that pretty much like everybody agrees that you can share your faith at work. You know, people think, well, I can't share my faith at work. Actually, you can. You can't do it in a way that's coercive. You can't like say to someone who works for you that if you receive Christ, you get a better business opportunity. But there's actually been like documents put out, including by like liberal groups and conservative groups saying, no, you can have conversations on faith at work. Canada, the US, really pretty much all the English speaking Western world. There are places where you can't. Predominantly, you know, North Korea types or a lot of Muslim, majority Muslim countries, but in most places you can. And so what I would say is it's a question of how best to begin that conversation. So I think ultimately relationship is always going to be key to that. Though I'm also for just that direct intentional evangelism, see somebody on the street, that's okay too. I share that with a, you know, waiter or an Uber driver or whatever. I should say before COVID, but
yes, that's right. But, you know,
now it's a little harder. But I would say that you know, from relational context, I think ultimately apologetics has become more important. Actually, having to explain and answer and walk through what the gospel is and ultimately why the Christian faith makes sense. Not that it's provable, but it is plausible. And then to trust the Spirit of God to work in people's lives and more. So I think I think for us, the walk of faith is going to always involve a sharing of the gospel. And as the world has become anti-proselytization, we're going to find ourselves increasingly challenged to encourage church people. And this is why church plants early on can just help make a priority of being faith-sharing, gospel-preaching people.
Yeah, no, that's great. So for our local context here at Beulah, we have, okay, what are our priorities for this next year? And in regards to evangelism, we have it actually as two parts. And I mean, there's more parts than that, but I'll just kind of share the two broader ones. We're actually on the on exactly what we're talking about right now. Yes, we are going to have intentional training events and different seminars and different things to really intentionally equip people to know how to answer the tough questions and to evangelize. And there's that aspect of it that's the equipping side, which is very, which I believe is needed, especially in this, in light of all that we're talking about. There's that aspect of it. And there's also, actually, there's three. There's also Alpha. I mean, we have been using Alpha for years, very effectively, multiple times a year and in different ways, and actually have seen way more people participate in Alpha via online than we have in person. So there are obviously those two pieces, but as it relates to the entire congregation and sharing faith at work and sharing faith at with their neighbors and their family members and their friends and so on, we've been using the BLESS framework from Dave and John Ferguson, right? Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and story, right? Story is share your story and share the gospel. But it's been really neat to see how just that piece of it, just talking about and normalizing BLESS and being like, hey, regardless of where you're at, and you know, we can all live this lifestyle that actually begins sowing the seeds of just being open to, hey, what is God doing? Is God opening the door for spiritual conversation? And it's just really neat to see how its evangelism has become palatable and has become normal through a framework like this.
Giving people language and tools is helpful. You know, faith sharing. You know, I think ultimately it's interesting, you know, in my denominational tradition, the word evangelism is a good word. But it's interesting that in some denominational traditions, it's actually not a good word. It's like, well, that's those people, those other people do that. Well, no. What about faith sharing? What about just, you know, sharing, they're in the gospel. You know, those things, if people need to express that in different ways, I want evangelism to be a good word. I want it to be a great word. But I think if they can have a comfort level in doing that, and you're talking about the BLESS practices, you know, some of the ideas of, you know, of community and conversation and helping people just have a pathway that they're comfortable is a win.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening into this mini series, five-part mini series on current cultural, theological, and missiological issues. If you have future thoughts and suggestions on other mini-series that we can do, just feel free to submit that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.